Well, good evening, good afternoon. This is Minister Gabriel Leck. Welcome to Signs and Seasons, and we're on with my co-producer, Sister Samara Baruti on BBS Radio. Hi, Sister Samara.
Good evening, Minister Amlek. How are you today?
I'm good. Having a little challenge with my computer technological, so a last minute cut off. I don't know what that's about, but it's been kind of acting up all week. Welcome, folks, though, to another session of edition of Signs and Seasons. Thanks for being there, bearing with us. And all you brothers out there, fathers, great-grandfathers, great-grandfathers, belated Happy Father's Day. We both hope that,
Yes, to all you wonderful fathers out there, and grandfathers and uncles, as well, substitute dads, Happy Father's Day. Every day is Father's Day.
Yes, so we thank you for being with us. And we'll continue on with our exploration of natural and spiritual laws and principles. Of course, what came to me this afternoon, which I want to touch on that also, to talk to you a little bit on the summer solstice. Summer solstice is, as you may know, celebrated in the church, the Feast of Pentecost. And so we have that high consciousness. Summer solstice, of course, represents the culmination, the longest day. And we hope that your aspirations or your goals and objectives as far as the expansion of your consciousness is concerned, we hope that this has been a real fruitful time for you, and that all of your desires to enhance your spiritual consciousness, the consciousness period rather, in, as a matter of fact, but particularly with regards to your spirituality, that whatever in whatever religious tradition you are, that your objectives to move towards the higher levels of consciousness, particularly in this year, in this 2012. One of the major considerations this time of year, as we move through Cancer, as we move towards Cancer, we're still, of course, at the tail end of the Gemini vibration. So this Friday, I believe it's Thursday or Friday. Yes, it is the some say it's the 21st. It's actually the 22nd. It's all according to where you're at on the planet. But this weekend is the summer solstice. And so it would be a good time, as the ancients did, and of course many people in the world today, they are focusing their energies on preparing their consciousness so that when we move into this weekend, that we will be in a mode of maturation, starting right now to be clear on what it is that we want to see, what we want to see move to its highest level of development. One of the areas that we may be focused on, particularly since we're moving into that feeling Cancer energy, is to really get clear on what we are doing to nurture those emotional, our feeling nature. During this phase, it symbolically relates to the, as I said, the summer solstice, the time of maximum light in the cycle of the seasons. The moon and the sun are at this time in opposition to each other on opposite sides of Earth. And this corresponds to, in the planting cycle, it's time for the flower to emerge. So we want to see the whatever we've been planting as far as our feeling nature is concerned. Because, you see, we have been so conditioned, and I guess what we can say it's become a global problem, that we almost ignore or have been taught to ignore our feeling nature. And so interesting, I was reading some literature this week, Barbara Ann Clough, and she was explaining how our feeling nature, the antenna that tunes us into level to energies on all levels, have in many cases almost been shut down because we have developed the habit of placing too much emphasis on the intellect and almost in many instances ignoring what we feel. And that's the difference between us and Homo sapiens and lower forms of life, where they're so in tune with their feeling nature. And we, for whatever reason, our whole cycle has been thrown off. We're told that, for example, there should be actually 28 months, each of the months should have 28 days. And so because we have got 1 month is 28 days, there's 29 days, there's 30, there's 31 days. And so we really have, for whatever reason, for whatever the intention, have been thrown off from the natural flow. And so it's more difficult for us than, of course, it is for the lower forms of animals to know what to do when. So during this phase, full moon, we should be aware of the effect of our work on others, with the summer solstice, rather. The phase symbolically, okay, let me say this, the solstice relates symbolically to the full moon, the time of maximum light. We are operating out of a mode of visible clarity rather than blind faith. And our watchwords should be objectivity. During this particular phase, we're open to the influence of those around us. And we have a tendency to be aware of the influence that we can have on them as well. And we just, as you remember, we just experienced a full moon, an eclipse. So in a sense, our work has meaning for us now as it relates to other people. If you can take the time to find out what phase of the moon you were born in, it gives you a lot of information about your emotional being. You might also remember that whatever your moon phase is, then it also has to do with how you respond to the feelings of other people. So then we have the new moon. The new moon is, interestingly enough, the new moon, and there are eight phases of the moon. In the new moon, the moon and the sun are conjunct in the same sign. My sun and moon are in the same sign, and this phase represents the beginning of the planting cycle, when the seeds send forth its shoot while it's still on the ground. During this phase, the world is ours to make our mark on. People who were born under the new moon phase have a tendency to be subjective in their approach. They have a tendency to feel that the rules of other people, that for other people, are not necessarily made for them. And so they make their own rules. That doesn't always work out well, but appropriate to the present moment. And so the new moon people may question why they need to do things in a certain way, and they aren't satisfied until they have done it their way, and sometimes the results don't always turn out for the best, but experience is the best teacher. And then we have the people who are born on the crescent moon. Moon is waxing, halfway between new and first quarter moon. So if you're a crescent person, it's still in, it's moving into moving towards the first quarter. And during this phase, people who are born during this phase tend to change or move forward and change with new ideas and impulses, even in the face of resistance. So go back in time and get some clarity on what phase of the moon you were born in. It also lets you know that during the phase of the moon that you were born in, you are more sensitive emotionally. And so if you, like I'm saying, if you're a new moon person, then during the new moon, you would be more sensitive to the vibrations from an emotional point of view. But that means that they would have a deeper effect on you, and they would have a deeper meaning for you. And so during the time that you the moon phase that you're under, it would be nice if you sort of not be as involved in the external world as you would generally be. And just to take note, because you're also more impressionable during that particular time. You're listening, new listeners who just tuned in, you're listening to Signs and Seasons with Minister Gabriel Mack and my host, Sister Samara Baruti. And we thank you for joining us. We're still talking about laws and principles. We are talking. We want us to begin to include more in our consciousness the effect that the zodiacal influences have on us, because we have been told in the traditional religious teachings, doctrines, that to think about the stars and the planets is demonic and not based on sound, spiritual, or even scientific laws and principles. We have a tendency to ignore them, and we're throwing away the baby with the washwater. But you see, we still plant by the face of the moon. We know that in many of the healing institutions, they're well aware of the phases of the moon. They oftentimes hire extra staff just in the full moon periods, because they know the effect that it has on people that have emotional imbalances. And so that's why we have the word lunatic, because of the association with the moon's phases. And so let us. The other forms of animal life, they're into it automatically, subconsciously, intuitively, instinctively. And so we've gotten away from that. So let's just do an experiment with yourself for a month or so, a couple of months. Find out what phase of the moon you're born in, under, and begin to look at how you respond during those periods. So if you're born now on the first quarter moon, in this phase of the moon, the moon is now waxing and it's square, meaning that it's 90 degrees from the sun. And that means that it's like you have an energy at 3 o'clock and an energy at 12 o'clock, or 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock. That's 90 degrees apart. That's a square. And that can be challenging, which we'll talk more about that in a second, okay? And so, it represents the first quarter moon represents the time in the planting cycle when the organism begins to put out its leaves and its branches. Now, during this phase, people born during that phase are a willful builder, of course, of new structures. And you see, what happens is when you find out the time that your energy is in tune, the cycle your energy is in tune with, then you find that you have this wonderful feeling of release, that you have this feeling that you have been successful in expressing an integral part of yourself, and that's because you're in tune with the cosmos. You see, we're constantly being bombarded by these astrological influences, and the problem with most is that we're not able to express them in a healthy, meaningful fashion. And so when you, let's say in the first quarter, then you like you have the instinctive desire to build new structures for yourself, society, and you exert the your utmost effort in order to achieve your goals to bring these new forms into reality. These are first quarter people. See, this is a whole, this is another whole vocational counseling dynamic. That's why Hippocrates and other wise ones, Carl Jung in modern times, said that a doctor, a vocational counselor, who do not know astrology, cannot really call themselves doctors or vocational counselors, etc., because we're not looking at the whole picture. And many people are suffering from what we call psychic constipation. And so the first quarter moon person has that kind of vibration. And, of course, there are eight phases of the moon. Now we move to the second quarter. Okay, now during that particular phase, you have, of course, you're moving, they call that the Gibbous moon. And in this phase, we're drawn to accomplishment of goals. We have an analytical and detailed approach. And we're likely to have quite a passion for perfecting what we are building. We're not content with the status of outmoded conceptions, nor is there any hesitation in moving forward with a new element, because the person must feel, they must feel perfected in order to achieve their true potential. And so it's still in the same building phase as the first quarter, but it's in the second phase of that. The new moon initiated, the first quarter took it to another level. Okay, and then the Gibbous moon took it to the next phase. And now we have, we started out talking about the full moon, and we were explaining that the person becomes aware of the effect of their work on other people. And they operate out of a mode of seeing it, visible clarity. Ah, here it is, right here. I'm seeing it. It's manifesting itself. And then in the disseminating mood, you see, then the person born in that particular, this is right after the full moon, that person is into, gets a charge out of disseminating information. Disseminating. Okay? The person's basic mission in life is to shed light. And they're always filled with the knowledge of what has been accomplished in a particular field of expression, of endeavor. And their major purpose is to share it with others. The baby is born. Here it is, right here. So it's the symbolic fruition of the life in the garden. It represents the culmination of the entire planting process as we move 528 here on BBS Radio. We're going to hear in a minute from Sister Tamara. She's going to give us some wonderful news after the bottom of the hour break on health news and views. And it's also in tune with what we're talking about, because we're talking today about the moon, the phases of the moon in our personality, in nature. And Sister Tamara is going to talk to us about some very interesting aspects of what actually helps nature come to life, maintain life. So now the last quarter moon is a person is and becomes an exemplar of the tearing down of the old structure to prepare the way for the new. And this type is this person is characterized by a crisis in consciousness where we cannot get with the current scheme of things, and we have this strong desire to change. And I hope it's really sinking deep into your consciousness, and you really see how connected we are to the cosmos, connected we are to the force around us, even though we generally are taught and feel that we're not. And so the last quarter moon, this person has a desire to change things. They possess a core level discontent with the existing order of things, and they find an environment. They're responding to a cosmic impulse. And then we have the balsamic moon. And the balsamic moon is waning and halfway between the last quarter of the moon and the new moon. Okay? This is the time of the maturation of the seed, while the rest of the plant dies away. And all the energy of the plant comes concentrated in the seed being prepared for the next cycle. And during this phase, the person is very focused on a barely perceived distant reality. And they feel somewhat alienated from the existing structure of society, like the dying plant. And so then they are sharing the knowledge distilled from the experience of the past in an effort to bring that encapsulated essence, I guess I can say that, forward into the emerging new form. And so these people, these individuals emotionally feel a sense of mission in helping to create the way for something new to emerge. Even though what that new structure will look like may not really be clearly discernible as of yet. But they need to be able to strike out on their own, to strike off the remnants of the dead past, and to triumphantly bring their message of the coming new dawn, even though they may not be totally clear what the coming new dawn is. I'm clear that it's 5:31, and Sister Samar is waiting in the ring with her wonderful message. And so let us take a minute's break, Brother Doug, and bring Samar on. Yes, it's time for health news and views today with my darling co-host, Sister Samar Baruti. Hi, Sister Samar. How are you again today?
I'm doing fantastic, Minister Amlak. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. So what have you? I've been anxious to hear what you told me. gave me a little tidbit of what you're going to talk about today, the blood of the plant kingdom. I think you said that was part of it. So
well, we're continuing with health, and the focus is spiritual anatomy and the spiritual laws of success from two of my great teachers, Deepak Chopra and Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. So I would like to focus on health news and views from the perspective of those two master teachers and contributors to the planet.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you want me to go ahead?
Oh, well, please do. I need to talk a little louder. My phone is something happening, but it's seriously not much volume. Go ahead.
Okay. I will speak louder.
Yes,
I would like to remind everyone of our focus last week and the quote, "You are what your deepest driving desire is. As your desire is, so is your will. As your will is, so is your deed. As your deed is, so is your destiny." And this is from the Upanishad, the Hindu holy book. And one of our focus that I think is a very, very important aspect of life here on the big blue planet, and it's understanding that life is really, really very simple. Life is quite easy, as a matter of fact, but most of us, including myself, have not been living the ease of life. And if we follow one of the very simple law, what we give out, we get back. Do unto others as you like done unto you, as you sow, so shall you reap. So what we think about ourselves become the truth for us. What we believe about ourselves, that is included. That will become true for you. What you believe, the things you say about yourself will become true in some form or another. And we're 100% responsible for everything in our lives. 100% responsible. We pull others into our dynamics to bring about our beliefs and what we think. So these are some of the things that has to do with spiritual anatomy as Miss Louise Hayes teaches it and as I personally live it. And I know many of us are having the experience of various disease in our bodies. You know, heart disease is the number one killer of women. There's diabetes, there is high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cancer, the big bad C, cancer. And yes, we can heal cancer, and it does start with our thoughts. We have an emotion. We think a thought creates an emotion. We pull that energy into our auric field, and if we don't get rid of it, it enters into our body. The matter, our physical body, is the last place for things to manifest. It gives us an opportunity first to clear it. So once it's manifested in your body, it has solidified, and that's when you become aware of the physical discomfort of that thought, that dis-ease that has now entered. Instead of ease, you're now experiencing dis-ease. So yes, how do we begin? That word, forgiveness, I would like to talk about forgiveness just a little bit. Whenever we're feeling dis-ease in any way, life is not going well, we're being challenged by finances, by relationship issues, and maybe at work, in our home, maybe with our friends and associates, business partners. One of the greatest things we can do is forgive. So forgiveness, unforgiveness is one of the cause of disease, and the cure is forgiveness. I don't quite know who said, not forgiven. Unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the person that you refuse to forgive to die. We know that won't work. You've swallowed the poison. You're upset. Your body's is spewing toxics into all your organs, and that person is going on with their lives, not knowing that you're holding some hurt, some trauma against them, some resentment. They go on, and you suffer, waiting for them to recognize that you're suffering. So this is why forgiveness is done for you, for me. When I do forgiveness, I do it for me. Of course, it does not excuse the person from their act, whatever violation they have caused. They're not excused from it. They will still reap the consequence of that action. But since you or I are not really the giver of that consequence, that is why we forgive, because reparation comes from the Most High. It's not from other people. Other people are instruments of the Creator to give us our just reward. So forgiveness, everyone. We must learn it, and I'll go into that a little bit deeper, but I'd like to use one of the affirmations and share with you some common ailments that afflict all of us. We live in such a toxic environment, especially here in Los Angeles, California. I love it. I love the sunshine, the beach. I love being able to experience all kinds of wonderful conditions. I can ski. I can go to the mountains, see snow. I can swim. I can do everything. I can go in the forest. I love California for that, but it's extremely, extremely polluted. It's one of the most polluted places on the planet. So asthma is a big, lung issues is a big issue for us. What does asthma represent? It represents smothered love, inability to breathe for one's self, feeling stifled, suppressed crying. And it's the affirmation that you want to use when you have got asthma, as well as cleaning out your lungs and your chest. It is safe now for me to take charge of my own life. I choose to be free. Because if you're not able to breathe, you're not free. Breath is our first food. The minute you come into the world, they've got to make sure you breathe. And it's the one thing that we can only live with for a few seconds, a few minutes. And asthma means, you know, you're like dying a slow breath every time you get attacked by asthma. So you really do not feel safe. The back. Most of us have got back ailments, which represent support of life. Affirmation, I know that life always supports me. Now, we sometimes have got upper back pain, middle or lower. The upper back represents lack of emotional support, feeling unloved and holding back love. You know, if you feel unloved, it really means you're not really loving. You're holding back your love. So we usually get what we give. So if you're not giving that love freely and you're holding it back, you're not going to really get that love that you want. So the affirmation to help you to release and receive is, I love and approve of myself. Life supports and loves me. That is for the upper back. Middle back is usually guilt, stuck in all that stuff back there. Get off my back. You know, we say that all the time. Get off my back. Get off my back. So I'm sure whoever is on your back is sure to cause pain. But that is a message you're giving to your deep unconscious. And where you feel it is the middle back. And how you release that is, I release the past. I'm free to move forward with love in my heart. I release the past. I'm free to move forward with love in my heart. Lower back. Lower back represents fear of money, lack of financial support. And what is the affirmation for that? I trust the process of life. All I need is always taken care of. I am safe. So I just wanted to give those three common ailments that so many of us live with. And just these affirmations, trust me, they work. I use them myself. I use other affirmations. And it's just sending a message to the deep subconscious mind. And you say it. Usually, I think it is at least 109 times. And depending on what type of person you are and how tightly you hold on to those stuck emotions and those beliefs, that is how long and how frequently you need to say it. So some of us, we can shift the energy rapidly. And the rest of us, we just have to keep going at it until we feel some release from that. We're all different and it's all okay. So here's an overall affirmation I would love to share. And it's around forgiveness and other things. In the infinity of life, where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I believe in a power far greater than I am that flows through me every moment of every day. I open myself to the wisdom within, knowing that there is only one intelligence in this universe. Out of this one intelligence comes all the answers, all the solutions, all the healings, all the new creations. I trust this power and intelligence, knowing that whatever I need to know is revealed to me, and that whatever I need comes to me in the right time, space, and sequence. All is well in my world. So these are wonderful, wonderful affirmations. And again, I will make it available to anyone who would like it to be used, you know, over and over when you're feeling challenged in your life. So that is the spiritual anatomy, dealing with your health from a spiritual, metaphysical point of view. We looked at it using supplements through detoxing, and now we want to look at it from the mental aspect. You know, Bob Marley says, free your mind from mental slavery. Well, those thoughts, those beliefs that are programmed are the ones that enslave us. And wherever we get them from, they're the ones that are running our lives. They're the ones that are creating our reality. Not the person out there. The person out there supports us in our belief. So that's my sharing on that. And next week I'd like to focus a little bit more on the spiritual laws of success.
You said on the spiritual laws of success?
At least some of them, the spiritual laws of success, because we're all worried right now. Many of us are very concerned and feeling challenged by the economy and by the changes that are upon us. But, you know, I have a friend that used to say, everything is everything. And that really means it's all good. Even when we can't see it, it's all good. Everything is everything.
So we can capitalize, Sister Samar, as usual. That's very interesting. I'd like to capitalize by summarizing up what I mentioned about the eighth phase of the moon, and perhaps you summarize what you were saying from also one of my favorite teachers, Sister Hay, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Now, so the eighth phase is today we're moving into the summer solstice. And I'm going to ask Sister Samari to give us some, when I bring this last phase to you, just summarizing, how can we utilize what you were just saying to us to move into this summer solstice?
Well, a fantastic meditation from Buddhism is the meditation of mindfulness. And that means bringing your attention to everything around you. But we can't, you know, there's so much information that we can't always take it in. So what you do is simply pay attention to yourself. You pay attention to the thoughts that go across your mind, like the windmill of your mind. Just pay attention, but not interact with them. Because we know the moon, it's about our emotions. And how we feel and how we get affected emotionally. And actually, we live on a very emotional planet. The planet, we've got a beautiful sun that shines down on everyone without discernment. It shines on everyone the same. And we've got a beautiful moon that does just the same thing. So we know that those two energies are very, very much balanced, yin and yang. But we're so emotional, and emotion, energy in motion, it's a very, very powerful, powerful state of being. But, and the issue for many of us is we don't know how to control, how to master our emotional self. So the stages of the moon allow us an opportunity for mastership, containment, and to use it, our emotions, to manifest the things we want in life. So the meditation of mindfulness allows us to pay attention. You watch yourself. You watch your action. You watch what you think, the thoughts that come across your mind. You watch yourself as you brush your teeth in the morning, as you get out of bed.
That falls right in place with the fact that we're moving out of Gemini. Gemini is I think, Cancer is I feel. And so what Sister Samar is sharing with us in terms of thinking, mindfulness, and becoming more aware of our feelings. This month, we're going to talk more about that in this next 3 or 4 weeks, because we're moving through Cancer, and we're going to show how we can use this Cancer energy to heal ourselves. And Sister Samar will be giving us some information on healing the emotional component. We are almost running out of time. We have 4 minutes to go. Sister Samara, thank you very much again.
Thank you.
What I would like for us to do is categorize each one of us what phase of the moon we're born in. We'll be talking about that through the month of July. New moon, crescent moon, first quarter, gibbous moon, full moon, disseminating moon, last quarter moon, balsamic moon, and of course, void. Of course, we're going to talk about that.
Minister, I'm like, you would definitely be a person that can assist anyone in better understanding if they don't know, you know, wouldn't you? You have that knowledge to share by doing readings and those type of things, because I'm coming to you to help me with what phase of the moon I was born on.
Thank you. And that's the purpose here. Sister Samara, I want to remind us about the release of our book, the Superior Aspects of Women, which is going to be this weekend.
Yes, we are. It turns out that we will be doing it in what I'm calling Cancer season, what I'm calling the month of liberation. Mm. For those of us who are here in the United States of America, we know that the 4th of July is what? Independence Day. So we will be releasing our book during the month of liberation, and it has some wonderful liberating ideas, and we're going to follow it up with a workshop.
And we also have the African American's Role in America's Spiritual Destiny, which is going to be a complimentary copy. And it's very important as we move towards November and voting, we really want to be clear on what the purpose, the spiritual purpose of America is, and how all of us are destined to contribute to its fulfillment. And so what else do we need to share in this last 1 minute? Please don't forget to tune in, of course, next week. Tune in, and if you go back into the archives and listen to this program over again, then, of course, you get insight, more insight, and that's why we're both so happy about the being on BBS and the opportunity to play the programs over. So, Sister Samara, we're saying so long to our family until next week, or at least, you know, physically. We'll be in tune, huh?
Yes, so long. Farewell.
Yes, and Brothers Doug and Don, thank you very much for being there to spearhead this movement, BBS Radio. And I don't know if we said Happy Father's Day to both of you, Doug and Don, but we want to say belated Happy Father's Day to you. And for those who tuned in late, Happy Father's Day. And we do hope that you were given the rewards and appreciation at 5:55 that you deserve. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you, Samara.
Thank you, Minister Amlak.